they say can't be done. We've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. Mallory Piping text line 251-343-0106. I'll get to your text here in short order, so keep them coming. Todd Stacey will be with us in about 30 minutes at the top of the hour. And in that 11 o'clock hour, as we do every Friday, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott, joining us now on the line. She's a junior U.S. Senator. Always grateful for her time on this program. But Katie Britt joins us on the line. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Great. It's an interesting day up here and probably going to be a really long day and weekend, but always good to be on with you.
Well, it sounds like, yeah, you got your work cut out for you. You gotta do it this way. The Democrats are going to bring a bunch of votes to the floor, and you just got to vote-a-rama it on through, right?
That's right. So right now they're in their 25 hours of debate. We have 25 hours. We'll yield all 25 of those back. It'll be interesting to see if they yield some of their hours back. We're hearing they may about mid-afternoon, but the jury's still out on that. Then we'll start the process of voting on amendments. As of last night, they had already filed 11 amendments. And so I'm sure that number will continue to grow. These amendments are obviously, you know, they take a long time to kind of get through. And many times the goal is to push the other party, you know, through the night kind of thing. So only time will tell what this is. But I think Republicans are obviously committed to making sure that we can extend President Trump's tax cuts that he put into place. If we don't, Jeff, that's a $4 trillion tax increase in 2026 for Americans across the board. We also have another, a number of important things that we need to get done, like making sure that we have the proper funding to secure our border, that we have the proper resources to strengthen our defense, that we actually are becoming not just energy independent, but energy dominant. And this piece of legislation will have pieces of all of that in there. Also, it gives us the opportunity to have that conversation about many of the things President Trump has talked about on the campaign trail and wants to actually achieve for the American people, whether that's no tax on tips or no tax on Social Security, amongst a number of other things that will be involved in this conversation once we get this budget resolution across the finish line. And so, Jeff, that's the goal, that we get that done this weekend. It'll go back to the House. They'll have an opportunity, obviously, to pass that. This will put the Senate instructions in there, and then we'll get going. We'll get working on all of this. And as you know, we've talked about one of the pieces that I want to see in this is something that helps make childcare more affordable and more accessible. I think we, as Republicans, are the party of parents. We're the party of hardworking Americans. And I can think of no better way to truly, show that than helping those that want to reenter the workforce or that are currently in it have more affordable or accessible child care options.
I mean, this is a big bite, right? This reconciliation package.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
This gets done, and then it's historically impactful, it seems like.
It absolutely is, Jeff. And it's also important that we get it done, that we get this moving quickly. I mean, not only because we'll have appropriations bills that'll be kind of tracking at the same time in the sense that we'll start that process. You know, we're working on figuring out when we're going to get the president's budget with regards to that and how we kind of get those moving. But, you know, we'll need to be marking those up by, the middle of the summer. And it'll be important to understand what all is in these packages. Obviously, the speaker has said he wants this done by the end of May. I think that is excellent and an excellent goal for us to work to achieve. We want this in place by the summer because it'll be important for the American people to actually feel the effects of the incredible policy that will be embedded in this. And in order for them to be able to do that, particularly even before the midterm elections, then we've got to get to work and get it done. So I think we're going to work hard for hardworking Americans and ensure that we're creating that space within this bill. But we got a lot of work ahead of us, both on the House and the Senate side. So American people, I mean, you know, stay tuned in. But it's an exciting time, but it is literally going to be, as President Trump says, a big, beautiful bill.
joined by Katie Britt, or one of our two U.S. senators here on the program. Saw you making the media rounds last week, Congresswoman Kat Kamick from Florida. The two of you have, I guess, launched the Republican Women's Caucus. A little bit into that. Tell us about it. Tell us some of the goals here with that new endeavor.
Yeah, so we were so grateful to President Trump for inviting us over and elevating the Republican Women's Caucus there, you know, knowing that women's issues are American issues. And as we look across the board, I think too long America has pigeonholed women as a one-issue voter. And the truth is, we care about so many things. We want secure borders. We want safe streets. We want our dollar to go further. We want a strong defense. We want leaders that actually understand how to achieve peace through strength. We want to take a look at what's happening in social media with our children. We want to look at the capabilities of AI and the health in the health space and others. And speaking of the health space, we want to make America healthy again. We believe we have a once in a lifetime opportunity to actually pull the curtain back on what we are giving our children and make that a, you know, make sure that we have healthier ingredients and that we are ending chronic disease. I mean, there are so many things that women care about, and education for kids, equal opportunity there to achieve that American dream. The list goes on and on and on and on. And so, you know, we talk after elections and before elections all the time about what do women voters care about. What a better way to address that than to have women come together, women leaders that are passionate about these things, really driving these agenda items forward.
Well, best of luck on that. Something that is kind of, I think, really percolating with conservatives right now, and I've been talking about it most of my life, ever since it came to be a thing in the Carter administration, dismantling the Department of Education. I guess my question to you would be, if no Department of Education, what would the preference be there? Like, how would the federal government be involved, if at all, in education?
Look, this has got to happen, Jeff. Let's take a step back, because the liberal media isn't telling the story. Once again, they have Trump derangement syndrome, and the only thing they can do is anything that comes out of this administration, they want to try to find a way to undermine. And look, the American people aren't buying it. If you look back at this, when President Carter put the Department of Education into place, he said, we want equal educational opportunities for all. You're looking to close the gap between the have and the have nots, and obviously drive up test scores and opportunity. That hasn't happened. President Reagan immediately came in afterwards and said, we need to dismantle the Department of Education. So President Reagan is the one that put this into the universe. He said decisions about education should be made at the local level. If the pandemic taught us nothing else, obviously it taught us we need to secure our supply chain, which we're working on doing right now. It also opened our eyes to what was being taught in the classroom and the emphasis or lack thereof that was being placed on so many fundamental subjects that our children needed to succeed, like math, like reading, like true science, et cetera. And so if you look back at our NAEP scores and look at the scores overall back when we started the Department of Education, and now they are statistically unchanged. If you look at where we are right now with regards to proficiency levels, I mean, it's a 2020 report said that in reading, the average score among 17-year-old students, you know, was significantly different than what it was back in the 70s when we started this. But we are seeing that the scores just continue to go down, and that, you know, kids are not being taught what they need to. I mean, look at our reading levels, look at our math levels across the country, and then look at how much money we are spending, Jeff, on just bureaucrats in Washington, D.C. at the Department of Education. You see that the average bureaucrat in Washington at the Department of Education makes more than twice the average teacher in America. I mean, think about that. So there are things that the Department of Education does that other departments can house. They did it before. And so we have spent trillions of dollars to try to close a gap that we absolutely have not closed. We are like ranking 28 out of 37 when it comes to our, you know, our math scores and all of the countries combined. If you look at Alabama, and that you could pull out even just black belt counties, just 11% of K through 12 students scored well enough on state assessments to be considered proficient, a measure that's, you know, used to determine whether a student is ready for the next step in graduation. We must do better. We are failing our kids. The Department of Education has not solved our problems, and in fact, in many cases, it has made them worse. So the things that need to be, whether it's student loans being housed at SBA, or you know, programs with regards to disabilities being housed at HHS, there is a place and a home for those things. But as far as actual educational opportunity, we need to drill it down, put the states and local leaders in charge, and we need to actually achieve results for our kids. I want every one of the people who don't want the department dismantled to actually look themselves in the mirror and say, are the very kids that I am fighting for, are they being well served in the current climate? The answer is absolutely not. And if they were, the scores would be different, the outcomes would be different, and kids' opportunity as a result of their education would be different. It's not what we're seeing today. I am sick of the status quo. I want the gap between the have and the have nots to close, and this system is not doing it.
Let's talk about something that I think we've seen a great deal of success in this early going of the Trump administration, but the border crossings, illegal crossings are down. There's not as, you know, you're not really seeing the problems you saw during the Biden administration. What's your assessment of the progress to date?
Look, I think this is showing, Jeff, let's rewind back to when you had, goodness, probably about, 16 months ago or so, when you had the Democrats saying the only way that they could secure this border is us passing this bipartisan border legislation. That's what they said. Do you remember that? They said, we just do not have the tools in our toolbox if you do not give us, you know, more authority and different things. Remember, they wanted to codify 5,000 people a day coming to the border. I mean, absolutely absurd. And many of us said, we are happy to assess if we need more tools, but we want to see you use every tool in your toolbox first. And President Biden is not only not doing that, he is undoing all of the good things that President Trump has done. And that is why we have a crisis on our southern and our northern border, and nothing else. It is an actual result of failed leadership, of weakness in the White House. And I think President Trump has proven that to be absolutely true. He came in, he put in, immediately put in executive orders. He immediately started using the tools in his toolbox. He immediately said, we will not allow gang members from Venezuela or anywhere else to traverse and terrorize our citizens. And he finally did for the American people what Joe Biden failed to do, and that is give them some certainty that the person in the White House was going to put Americans first, was going to change the dynamic, was going to secure our border, make our streets safer, and give their children an opportunity to actually live the American dream. President Trump is being willing to do hard things, and he's showing us that the last 4 years that we have lived under was absolutely a choice that the Biden-Harris administration made, and not how it had to be. And so it is a good day. This is what real leadership looks like, Jeff, and I am thrilled, and I think President Trump will continue to make great strides for the American people.
Now, and we talked about, or you talked about, you know, how Democrats kind of hit, you know, hey, we need to pass like some kind of border or some kind of immigration reform to get done what Trump's already doing. I assume reconciliation bill will have some of this in it, but what else does Congress need to do to help get that policy in place?
Say that last part again, Jeff.
What else does Congress need to do to get some of Trump's immigration policies or plans put in place?
Look, obviously we passed the Lake and Riley Act, which you know I was proud to be the Senate lead. That's the most significant immigration enforcement legislation that has been passed in 30 years. I mean, and we are obviously making sure that it is, you know, being utilized to get criminal illegal aliens out. What we will see through reconciliation is making sure that the good work that President Trump has been doing and in these first 100 days, that we have the opportunity to continue that funding moving forward. So if you think about the last 4 years, Democrats refused to give more money for ICE officers. You know, we only had 6,000 ICE officers in the interior. You know, when you're looking at, you know, 7 million people that they're supposed to be keeping track of, and then all of the people who had their final orders of removal, you know, upwards of 1.3, 1.4 million with final orders of removal, you've got to have money for more officers. You've got to have money for detention at that point, and you also have to have money for deportations. So when we're looking at kind of this, that using the tools in our toolbox, making sure that dollars are going there, not to the SSP program. We said time and time again, Jeff, the SSP program was like dangling candy out for a baby. We said, come here, we will fly you to New York City, we will put you up in the Roosevelt Hotel, and we will make sure that your needs are taken care of. Of course, that is going to act as a magnet for people to come here. We obviously, President Trump has made sure that those things have been diminished, but we will take this opportunity both in reconciliation and appropriations to make sure that dollars are going where they need to, so that Tom Holman, our border czar, and the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, have the resources they need to continue this push, getting gang members out of the interior, getting criminal illegal aliens out of our interior, and start to creating some law and order. Jeff, you've heard me say it before. We are absolutely a nation of immigrants. That's something we are proud of, but we are a nation of laws, and the lawlessness must stop. And so you'll see that through reconciliation. You'll see that through the appropriations process. And so good things are coming for the American people. More promises made, promises kept by the Trump administration.
Senator, you're always generous with your time. Let's catch up again soon. Thanks for hopping on this morning.
Hey, I appreciate it, Jeff. Thank you.
Thank you. That was Katie Britt there, our junior U.S. Senator. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Forrest Show on FM Talk 106.5.